Hello and welcome to Car Talk on National Public Radio.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
With us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're broadcasting this
week.
Did
I interrupt you?
No, I will. I refuse to be interrupted. I just keep moving. We're broadcasting this week from the Snippet Center here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, you know why it's called that? Because I have here, instead of mail, a bunch of little snippets.
Well,
eclectic collection.
I was going to use the best, the French spellings. Is it snippet?
Snippet. This is a couple of snippets from Dan Henderson. He said, I'll spare you the Texas-style bragging you may expect. I used to tell people I could drive all day and still be on my daddy's land. And someone answered, yeah, I had a car like that once. That struck a chord, as you may know.
Yes, a familiar chord,
Another
I'm sure.
Story he gives of a guy went into a parts store and said he wanted a gas cap for his Yugo. And the clerk said, sounds like a fair trade to me. And I'm just going to read you one thing. This is real fast. A couple of years ago, my girlfriend and I were listening to your show, and you sent us on a quest.
What's that? Nissan Quest.
You made a joke about UPS trucks never being able to park legally. I remember, don't I, said that. And so I said, have you ever seen a UPS truck that was parked legally? The flashes are always on. Oh, and you suggested, he even remembered this. Who is this? Don McClay from Berkeley. You suggested that the emergency flashes were connected right to the parking brake at the factory. So as soon as you stop the truck, the flashing lights come on. We thought this was a joke, but we thought it was truer than it was funny. And it might be fun to get a photo of a legally parked UPS truck. So I threw a camera in my Datsun, and I watched and I waited. During the next 2 years... It took them 2 years to find one, including a trip to Canada and to Mexico. Finally,
only somebody that drives a Datsun
would
have the perseverance to wait it out 2 years. And
we finally saw one legally parked within the city limits of picturesque Oakland, California, and the proof is enclosed. And here's a photograph. Look at that, a UPS truck. I mean, it looks legal, at least. But we can't tell what signs there are.
Looks abandoned to me.
He says, we will keep the location and license number a secret because we don't want the driver to lose his job.
If you want to talk to us, our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Bob from Minnetrista, Minnesota.
Hi, Bob. Where are you from?
Minnetrista, Minnesota. Or should I say Minnesota?
Minnetrista.
Yep.
How do you spell it?
Minnetrista.
Just like it sounds.
Want to know what it means?
Well, I'm going to tell you in a minute.
It's the kind of soup that Italians make with, a lot of vegetables.
No, that's minestrone. Minnetrista means, I'll tell you what it means, an evil mouse.
Close. Crooked waters or many city escaping yuppies.
Crooked waters. What does mini mean, as in Minneapolis and Minnesota and Minnetrista?
Land of.
Either that or water. I'm not quite sure.
It means water.
Yeah, it must mean water.
Water?
Trista means crooked.
Oh, Minnesota, land of lakes.
You're making me thirsty.
Okay, Bob, enough of this stupidity. What did you call for?
Okay. The driveway to my llama ranch is about a quarter mile long, and it was really icy a couple of weeks ago, and my wife and I kind of race up the driveway sometimes to see, you know, who can get the best spot in the garage. And obviously she isn't as good of a driver as me, so she made it about three quarters of the way up and got stuck on the ice and started sliding back down. So I had to park my Volvo a little ways behind her and help her get unstuck. Well, while I was doing that, the wind came up and it kind of blew my Volvo down the hill and smashed it into the rock border along the side of the driveway.
You'll never play this stupid game again, will you?
Well, I don't know. I kind of think maybe I should have not been such a gentleman and maybe moved my car a little further away. I don't know. Left it at the end of the driveway. But anyways, it smashed the rear quarter panel of the car.
Mm.
And now it idles smoother. It has more power than it has in a long, long time. It's an 85 Volvo with 140,000 miles on with an automatic transmission, and it kind of crimped the exhaust pipe into like a U-shaped thing.
Uh-huh.
Not a U-shaped thing, maybe an L-shaped thing.
Yeah,
maybe something between a U and an L.
I mean, that happens to Volvos all the time when they crash into something, where the tailpipe comes out the back. You touch anything and it gets crimped. And
okay,
it runs better now?
Yeah, I'm really happy with it. Can I leave it like this, or do I have to worry?
Gee, this is good. The rear quarter panel on the right side?
No, left side.
Left.
Yeah.
The left side.
That's where the tailpipe exits.
Tailpipe.
I mean, all conventional wisdom tells us that the car should run worse. Mm-hmm. If you are restricting the exhaust flow, I suspect the reason it runs better. Does it sound more powerful, too? Throatier?
It's got a more of a
resonance?
European sound to it now.
Yeah, because what happened, not only did you break the tailpipe, which ordinarily by bending the tailpipe would have caused an exhaust restriction and diminished your power, you at the same time broke another piece of the exhaust system and created an exhaust leak further upstream. So that's why you have better power, the engine sounds better, and all that. That's what's happened.
That could be, or maybe...
This one of your harebrained ones?
I'm working on this. You can see me working on this.
I can see it, man.
Well, yeah. When he first said the rear quarter panel, I immediately leaped to the right rear quarter panel because that's where the fuel pump is.
No, wrong.
Yeah.
No.
85?
No.
Isn't the second fuel pump?
Well, there's one in the tank and there's one underneath the car.
Underneath?
Yeah, but it's not there.
It's not there.
No, what do you think? He gave the fuel pump a dope slap?
Yeah.
Now, if you were that invisible man, I could see that one wheel in there turning in your head. Bob.
Yep.
Trust me. What I describe...
All right.
What I describe to you...
I give up.
Look what I'm up against every week. Jeez.
I give up.
It is sad. I mean, think how much better the show would be.
I'd be perfectly honest. Your answer was so lame that I was looking for something more esoteric and interesting and elegant.
Unfortunately,
frankly,
the truth is oftentimes dull and boring.
It could be.
But the truth is the truth, and that's what happened, Bob. You crawl under there, and you will find a gaping hole someplace.
I don't want to find a gaping hole.
Just keep driving.
Okay, good.
And stop playing driveway tag. See you later, man.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Carol in Philadelphia.
Hi, Carol.
Is that with an E or not?
It's not with an E. I was going to make you guess.
Oh,
no
okay.
E. No E.
Philadelphia. I have to admit, I'm never sure about that one.
What, Philadelphia?
The E on the end.
Well, oh, it's seldom. The E is rare.
It is rare.
Anyway, what's up with you, Carol?
Well, I talked to you guys about a year ago, and you were a big help. You told me to take a piece of black tape and cover the little orange arrow in my...
Oh, the shift indicator.
Which has really been a big help.
Oh, the thing that said shift up.
Right, it says it all the time, so I covered it up. It's much better.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So what can we help you with now?
Well, we're having a family problem in my family. We were playing a board game, a kid's game called Brain Quest. And my boyfriend got a question that said, does a V8 engine have 8 pistons, 8 valves, or both?
Oh, you have to choose?
Is A, B, or C?
Right.
Does it have 8 pistons? Does it have 8 valves?
Or does it have both? Right.
Well, it does have 8 valves, but it has actually 16. It has at least 8 valves.
Good for you. Okay, because he said the card is wrong. The answer that the game gives you says it has both, 8 pistons and 8 valves, and he said no.
Oh, absolutely wrong. Yeah, he's
good.
Right.
Good, I'm glad he's
well,
right.
Well, no, I mean, let's get right down.
Wait a minute. If it says 8 pistons...
You want to get into the semantics here?
Yes, I want to get into the semantics.
It does have, if it had said 8 pistons, 40 valves, or both, then the answer would be, no, it doesn't. It has 8 valves, does it not? Huh?
Well, sure.
Huh, Carol?
But it also has 6 pistons.
Could have said that.
No, I think I...
Does an 8-cylinder engine have 6 pistons? Yes.
No.
Let's reverse it. Does a 6-cylinder engine have 8 pistons?
Does your brain have any pistons working today?
I contend that the answer is both.
You think the answer is both?
Yeah.
No, that's bogus.
No, there are 2 valves at least per cylinder.
Okay.
And an 8-cylinder engine does have 16 valves, but it also has logicians would argue that I am correct, that it does indeed have 8 valves.
I think, I believe that the commonly expected definition of the expression has eight valves.
Don't forget, this
has
game.
Exactly.
This
eight.
Game, this, if you write to the makers of this game, they will give you the same explanation that I gave you. That's why this is called Brain Quest and not Dummy Quest. Dummy Quest, my brother's answer is correct. But because it's Brain Quest, my answer is correct. It does have eight pistons, it does have eight valves.
Oh, if that's the way the thing works, then I would say that you should take this box of Brain Quest.
Careful, that was a family show.
And mail it right back to the manufacturer, telling them if that's the logic that they're using, they need a little quest for their own brains.
Well, we think you're a much higher authority than
if I
are
said
anyway.
To you, do you have one arm?
Yes.
Would you answer yes?
Yes, I do.
Bull feathers.
I do have one arm.
Sure you do.
No.
It's got eight pistons, and everyone agrees that it has eight pistons because there are eight of them, and they move up and down. But each one of the cylinders in which the pistons runs has two valves, one to let air and gasoline in and one to let exhaust stuff out. So your boyfriend is absolutely right. It has eight pistons and it has 16 valves.
Good.
But it could have 24 valves. There are a lot of engines that have a lot of eight-cylinder engines
well, it depends
that
on
have 32 valves, 24.
That's great. Great. But he was really right because he said it had to have at least 16 and maybe more.
At least
well,
16.
I'm going to rephrase the question. A V8 engine has six pistons, 16 valves, or both? What's the answer? That's different.
That is different, yes.
That is different. Anyway, Carol, the jury is still out on this. We're going to have to wait for a ruling.
Now,
everyone's going to argue that Tommy's right, but I'm sure, I'm confident and hopeful that we will get letters from Brain Quest explaining their answer.
They will explain that they made a terrible mistake. Are you a member of DENSA?
See you, Carol. Thanks for your call. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rick from Noank, Connecticut.
Hi, Rick. How you doing,
from
man?
Where, Connecticut?
Noank.
N-O-A-N-K?
N-O-A-N-K.
Noank.
Where the heck is that?
It's near Mystic, southeastern Connecticut.
Mystic.
You know, I've been there.
Yeah?
Everyone's been to Noank.
Yep.
I've been to Mystic Pizza, even.
That's right. Right
I here. Stood on the Mystic Bridge myself. So what's up?
My girlfriend has a 91 VW Fox. Recently we had some problems with it, and we took it to the shop, and they couldn't work on it. That was a Friday. They couldn't work on it that day, and it sat there for the weekend. And they fixed it on Monday, and she came home, and I thought she'd be delighted that they'd fixed it. She walks into the shop, and she says, the car has 20,000 miles on it that it didn't have before.
Wow, what a trip they took that weekend.
We all said, sure.
Made those guys in Ferris Bueller's Day Off look like rank amateurs.
That's right.
I think even if you had jacked it up and let it run for the whole 48 hours of the weekend, you couldn't put 20,000 miles
on it. I know. And so we all looked at her like she was crazy, and she said, how come everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy? But sure enough, she checks the mileage all the time because she's got to write down her mileage for her work.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks at it every day, and sure enough, the thing had gone from 74,000 miles to 94,000 miles.
Now, what repair had they done to the car?
It ended up being a heat sensor that was sending. It was having trouble starting, and the heat sensor was telling the computer that the engine was already hot, and it was.
Oh, the coolant temp sensor. Okay.
Right. So I went back to the garage, and I said, can you check the cable? Is there something that somebody hit it? I went to the guy who towed it and said, you know, there's 20,000 miles on the car, and they both looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, no, there's nothing that we did or nothing looks tampered with. How could this possibly happen?
And by the way, I should mention that hardly anyone knows how to turn an odometer forward.
Right.
There are plenty of people who can turn them backward, but forward, it's a lost art, you know.
Well, the problem is all you can do if something happens like this is sign an affidavit saying it's indiscriminate mileage on the thing, and she's afraid that it's lost a lot of value because it's got so many more miles.
Well, let's look at it realistically. If it has now 94,000 instead of 74.
Well, no, by now it has like 105,000 miles on it. The thing's gone screwy.
Oh, it's
oh.
Oh,
it's still
so it continues to
yeah.
get
oh,
add miles.
Okay.
Oh, that's good. That's
oh,
good.
So she needs a speedometer head.
Yeah.
And she can buy one. She can go to a speedometer shop or go to the Volkswagen dealer, and she can buy one, and they can put 74,000 miles on it or some
oh, yeah?
such thing. Yeah, as long as you submit an affidavit. I mean, I don't know what the rules are in Connecticut. If it were New Jersey or someplace like that,
you can put anything on it. In fact, you can get it done in the supermarket parking lot.
Would you consider making a trip to Jersey?
It's not that far.
It's only about 20,000 miles for you. These guys didn't do anything to cause this.
No, they didn't do anything.
I didn't think they did, but, it was awfully suspicious. Yeah.
But, it may have been doing this for a while, and it may well be. That
it was
all
doing
the
it smaller increments.
All the time that she's been putting in her mileage for her job.
Defrauding.
She's been defrauding her boss.
She's going to jail, Rick.
I mean,
that's
it could
it.
Well be. I mean, she drives across town and the thing registers 31 miles. She just writes it down.
She says, well, I didn't know it was that far. It seemed like only two blocks.
Well, now it goes the other way, too. She'll drive 8 miles and it'll register two.
Yeah, it's wacky.
Yeah.
It's wacky.
But the truth of the matter is, if you're worrying about the resale value of the car...
No, it dropped from $800 to $750 by...
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, I know what you guys think of Foxes.
No, I mean, Fox was actually all right for what
it
was.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
No,
that, not
it
really.
It was not.
I'm lying. I'm sorry.
It was a complete piece of junk.
I won't let it happen again.
It was the dark days for VW.
Yeah,
dark
well,
days.
They were trying to make an entry-level car.
Yeah.
And they didn't realize they already had two. Anyway, good luck, Rick, and thanks for calling.
Thank you.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Oh, God. It's backwards.
See, now, if it had been a more credible number, what if instead of adding 20,000 miles, it had added 1,500 or 1,200, 800?
Then she would have taken them to court.
She would have taken them to court.
Thank God for them that it was 20,000.
That it was 20,000. If it had been a different digit that was wacky.
Now, interestingly, what would have happened if it had gone backwards 20,000?
She would have kept bringing it back there.
Every weekend. Can I leave it for the weekend? There's nothing wrong with it. I just like to leave it. Hey, look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzler, we have to pause.
What is this, like station identification?
No, union work rule number 27B. After sitting next to you for 20 minutes, I'm entitled to a minute off for hazardous duty. We'll be back in a minute.
And even though dogs bury their masters' radios in their backyards whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hi, this is Morning Edition co-host David Greene. And the truth is, I don't even like cars, with one exception, the cars you guys donate to us. Did you know that your old car can be turned into Morning Edition, All Things Considered, or Wait, Don't Tell Me? Kind of makes you like cars, doesn't it? Turn your car into the programs you love. Here's how to do it.
For more information, visit the CarTalk Vehicle Donation Program at cartalkvdp.com. Hey, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And here's the answer to last week's puzzle. You may remember, long, long ago in a galaxy.
Oh, yeah.
Far away. A Ford Galaxy, that is. Our buddy Krusty was driving to what was to be his wedding ceremony up in the wilds of Maine. He's driving along this lonely, unimproved, i.e. dirt road, cow path, full of potholes and whatever, and he's driving along and he drifts into the state of euphoria. Remember that?
Is that near Maine? Is that east of Maine? Or?
Well, it's just between east. New Hampshire and Maine. Anyway, he drifts into this state of euphoria, thinking about the marital bliss that awaits him. So there he is, and he hits this huge rock in the road, big rock, and it tears open his gas tank. And he says, oh, man, what did he say?
Fudge.
Fudge. That it is.
Oh, fudge.
And he does a quick calculation, and he realizes that the gasoline is pouring out at such a rate that he's never going to make it to the wedding. And he knows that if he doesn't make it, she's not going to hang around because he's what?
A loser.
He's a loser. So he opens the trunk, and he's trying to figure out some way to solve the problem. And he starts pulling stuff out. He's got another transmission in there, starter motor, raccoon coat. The raccoon still in it, I believe. His toolkit. He looks down again under the car, and he sees the gas pouring out, and he realizes that in 5 minutes, he will have lost so much gas that he'll never make it to the wedding.
Oof.
So he runs to the front of the car, throws open the hood, and with a few tools in his hand, and in maybe less, he yanks something out from under the hood, and a minute later, he's driving away, and he makes it to the wedding on time. And the question was, what did he do? Now, He didn't take the fuel pump out or anything like that.
No, in
a
minute.
The gas is pouring out. What does he possibly...
I have to say that I have no idea what the answer to this is.
No?
I have no idea.
Well, I think you might hate it. He removes the windshield washer bottle, pours out the washer fluid, glug, 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 fills up the washer bottle with gasoline.
Oh.
Puts the washer bottle back where he took it out from. Hooks the hose from it, not to the spritzers, but to the carburetor. And he gets to his wedding by hitting the little button on the dashboard. So instead of using his fuel pump to fill up the carburetor with gasoline, he goes, and the car begins to run, all right? And we notice it's starting to stumble and losing power. He goes, another little squirt.
Oh, I do like it, actually. I was confused by the fact that I thought, from your description of the situation...
That he removed something and left it.
He removed something.
I had to lie.
Closed the hood,
I couldn't,
got in the car, and drove away.
I couldn't tell the truth because it would have been too easy.
And I didn't understand how he could have done this in a minute.
That's why it was what?
A puzzler.
I mean, I could have made it easier saying he removed something, he reinstalled it, he took the hose that had previously been connected to it and connected it to something else.
If you had said 5 minutes, I might have thought in a completely different way.
Well, it really took a minute.
Bull feathers.
All right.
All right,
25 minutes.
But it's very good. I like it. I like it.
And, of course, it's only possible because his Galaxy was carbureted. If he had a fuel-injected car, like we all have now, except for...
Not all of us.
Tommy.
Yeah.
Do you even have a carburetor?
No, not really.
All right, anyway, who's going to win our fabulous prize this week?
The winner is David Bloomquist from Littleton, Colorado, and for having his answer selected at random from among the thousands of correct answers that we got this week, David is going to get a $25 gift certificate to the Car Talk Shameless Commerce Division, where almost everything, once shipping, handling, taxes, and gratuity are added in, is over $25.
So you'll have to pony up some money,
so
Dave.
We're going to make money on this no matter how.
Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler, not automotive in nature.
Oh.
Well, I don't think so. I don't know. I haven't really decided yet, but it will be new nevertheless. And it's coming up in the third half of today's show, so don't touch that dial. In the meantime, we'll take your calls at 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is John Findlay. I'm from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hi,
John.
John.
What's up?
Well, I have a 91 Isuzu Trooper. It's an automatic, and as it builds up to shift into the next gear, it makes a noise, a kind of a growling noise, kind of goes, like that. And then it shifts kind of rough into the next gear. It doesn't do it every time, but probably 70% of the time.
And when you say it shifts rough, what does that mean?
It sort of feels like it's building up, you know, to shift. Like you can hear the RPMs of the engine increasing, then all of a sudden it goes, boom, and it shifts into the next gear right when it makes that noise.
Yeah. And how long has this been going on?
Oh, 6 months.
During which time, other than calling us, you've done nothing about it.
No, I haven't been anywhere. I've been waiting to talk with you guys.
Yeah, well, that was the right thing to do because it would have cost you a lot of money if you'd gone anywhere.
Yeah.
And we're going to give you the option of selling the truck, which the transmission guys would not have given you.
That's right.
Well, you know, it could be something as simple, if you were lucky.
Yeah, go ahead.
As insufficient transmission fluid.
Ah, okay.
Oh, you didn't even check that.
I haven't checked that.
Oh, so you really have done nothing.
No, you're right. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah, John abides by the philosophy, if it ain't broke, wait. It will be.
Yeah, I mean, it's my brother's absolutely right, of course. It could be something as simple as that, but only if you have led a very good, clean life.
Yeah. On the other hand, it could portend the end of the transmission.
Yeah, that's my nervousness.
Yeah, and that's why you haven't even opened the hood, you chicken.
All right.
How many miles on this thing?
100-something thousand.
94.
94. And what kind of driving has that been?
Been a combination. Mainly, though, just normal city driving and that type of thing. Some highway driving.
Oh, but more city than highway.
Yes.
It's more likely than that the transmission's dead.
Yeah. Great.
Well, because in the city, it has to shift more times.
Right.
Whereas when you're on the highway, you get into high, and that's it for an hour, two hours.
I think you should take it into your local repair shop. But before you do that, even, you might want to check the transmission fluid yourself.
I will do that.
Hopefully, you're going to find that it's low, and you have a small leak in the transmission cooler line, and a 25-cent hose clamp is going to fix that, and all will be right with the world. Won't that be nice, John?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Three
more. But you never know.
So it's either going to cost you, let's see, a couple of bucks, a hose clamp, $25, or $2,500.
So we're going to take the average.
Okay.
You're 12.22. See you later.
All right.
Good
thank
luck,
you.
John.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, John. Oh, yeah. We gave him hope, and then I would have left him with just a loose cooler line. And
left it at that.
Yeah. See,
the $2,500 was unnecessary.
It hurt. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from New York, and I'm also from Estonia and the former Soviet Union.
No kidding. So how long have you been here from Estonia?
Well, I'm just here for a couple weeks, and I'm going back pretty soon. And I have a car over there that's having a lot of problems.
But where's your accent?
I'm American. I'm American-Estonian.
Oh, Estonian-American.
Uh-huh.
And so you've just gone back to live in Estonia?
Yep. I've been there for 3 years.
So you speak Estonian?
I do. I learned it.
Wow.
Say something like, hello, you're on Car Talk.
So I sort of said I speak terrible Estonian, but I said I'm here.
Very good. Wow. I've never heard Estonian before.
So where are you actually calling from?
I'm calling from Wilmington, Delaware right now. I'm on my way back to New York.
All right. You got an Estonian what?
I have a
Festiva?
I have a Soviet Moskvich. And it's a 1500 LX. It's a four-door sedan. It's a 1982 model. And I tried to find out what it was modeled after, because most of the Soviet cars were Western car ripoffs. But this car apparently was an attempt by the designers to build their own thing, and it didn't really work very well.
Oh, they must have been collaborating with the French.
No, they went into Renault afterwards, and you know they followed Renault's designs afterwards, and they did a lot better. But this car is really a creature unto itself.
And what's it called? A Moskovich?
It's a Moskovich, yeah.
Moskovich. And so you're sure it's not like a Fiat or something?
No, I don't think it's a Fiat, no. The older ones are
I think
Fiat.
We had one of these in the shop just the other day. So what's the problem? I know we can help you.
Okay. It just sort of stops. It stops in the middle of the road for no reason. And I've had lots of mechanics look at it, you know, Moskvich experts, of which there are many in Estonia. And nobody knows what's wrong with it. You know, once my cousin, he stuck a piece of wood into the ignition to get it going, and it went going again. It started again.
Piece of wood?
A piece of wood into the ignition to get it. I don't know what he was doing.
Where did he put the piece of wood? This is a big clue.
Okay. He put the wood where the key usually goes.
Oh.
Oh, in the ignition switch.
Yeah, yeah, into that part.
Oh, okay.
Without the key?
I'm sorry?
With the key or without the key?
Without the key.
Oh, so he used this as a key.
Well, he sort of used it as a key, but I really wasn't able to follow what he was doing. He couldn't explain it to me in simple enough Estonian, but he kept the fire extinguisher nearby in case a piece of wood caught fire.
Oh, I think what's wrong, and the reason it's dying out in you without notice, is that the ignition switch is not making contact all the time. So you're driving along, and the key is in the on position.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, it breaks the circuit, and then the car dies.
Uh-huh.
Do you notice that other things stop? Like, does the CD player stop working?
CD player.
You have a radio.
Right.
No, you don't have a CD player.
No.
Okay.
Well, those power seats are probably draining down the battery.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we have tiger skin seats in our car.
Tiger.
Very classy.
Well, when this happens and it stalls, does it start right up again?
No, I mean, sometimes you just have to kind of let it sit for a while or kick it. You know, once the rear right wheel was making a horrible grinding noise, so the guy I work with got out and cleaned the window shield, and it started working again. I mean, it's like you just never know what's going to happen with this car.
Mm.
Yeah, I guess that's the ignition switch, too, that grinding in the rear wheel. I don't know, but I'd have to guess it's the switch.
Okay, well, we'll check that out.
I'd have to. But you can bypass the switch. I mean, Estonia doesn't have a problem with car theft, does it? Grand Theft Auto has not come to Estonia yet.
Well, not this car.
You may have the rare opportunity to import it into the country with you. Anyway, I think it's the switch. You can have your cousin.
Okay.
If he's the right man for the job.
Okay.
You can have him take the switch out and hotwire the car and put a bunch of toggle switches in, like you'd see on an old Messerschmitt or something.
Okay.
And then you can use those to start the car.
Okay.
And run it. You flip one switch for crank, another switch for your wipers, another switch for your other accessories, and another switch for run. So you have a kind of an array of little toggle switches on the dashboard. It'll be unique.
Unless it's possible to buy another ignition switch someplace.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you say there are lots of Moskowitz experts in the country. There must be some spare parts.
Yeah.
If not,
yeah,
steal one.
Okay, well...
I'd save up for a Trabant if I were you, Lisa. I hear they're going cheap these days.
Okay, I think I have to trade up.
You might have to trade up to a Trabant.
Okay.
Good luck.
When are you going home?
I'm going home in a couple weeks.
Good for you. Good luck.
You. Okay.
See you, Lisa.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, we have to change the sign in front of the shop. It now says we specialize in all cars, foreign, domestic, Japanese, European, and Moskowitz.
Moskowitz.
Yeah.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Max.
Oh, no.
No, not Max.
Max.
Hey, you want to buy a schnauzer?
I have a schnauzer.
Yes, we know that.
I couldn't believe how many animal lovers there is in this country. It's really the phone and the faxes didn't stop coming.
Really?
And guess what?
What?
I just couldn't believe what happened. A TV station from Great Britain that has a 7 series of dog stories heard the story, and they called me right away, and they say, Max, we can't believe it. If you can get this English woman together with you to talk to her, we might put you with the English woman in one of these 7 series. I say, I'll try, and I called her.
Yeah.
I called her, and she wasn't there. I called her sister. She said, Max, she was so lonely, she went back to England. And I can give you her phone number. I took her phone number. I called England. And she told me, Max, if you still have him, I want him. I can't take it anymore. So she's coming back in 2 weeks, and I'm gladly giving her the dog.
Hey, you know, we actually also, we must have gotten, how many phone calls did we get? Hundreds and hundreds. We got hundreds and hundreds of phone calls and letters from people who wanted the schnauzer.
Oh, you should see the faxes that I received.
Unbelievable.
And my heart broke the way one wants it for his mother and one wants it for his son and one wants it because his dog dies. I have to send you those faxes.
No, we have enough. We don't want any more.
Okay, I'm on my way north. I'm so happy she's coming back and taking the dog.
Well.
And I want you to thank all the people that really has this sense for animals. They're great people. We have a great country and great people.
Thank you for calling, and we will keep you posted, and I want to meet this English woman, too.
That's what I want to do. When she'll come, we'll take picture here with the two dogs, the dead one and the live one.
So, that's what we want.
Either way, you get your dog back. Thank you for calling, Max.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Did he? No. I have to say that some of the mail we got suggested that Max was not being totally on the up and up with us and that he made up this whole story. Good as it was.
No, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay, I mean, I know I'm gullible.
Well, what will prove it to us is the picture of the two dogs.
Yeah.
We want to see the dead one.
Okay. Yeah. If he does send us the picture, we will post it on cartalk.com.
And the only way they can prove to us that the second dog is dead is by having a pork chop tied around the neck of the other dog. Oh, well.
<Woo-hoo! laughs>
Well, although you should be doing exactly what you're doing right now for health reasons,
yeah,
laughing and listening to us click and clack the Tappet Brothers, known to NIH administrators everywhere as Tom and Ray Magliozzi, we'll have more of your calls, plus another scintillating puzzler. So don't touch that dial, because if you do, the end of your dipstick may fall off. We'll be back in just a minute.
You've got that fine car, baby. And I want to ride.
And even though Facebook automatically asks our friends, "Are you sure you still want to do this?" whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a jackhammer operator and miss grating noises when you get home.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and, of course, the new Puzzler. And, you know, I have a lot of different puzzles that I could have used today. And you're going to say, well, why did you choose a lousy one?
Not yet.
Not yet. But you know, it's a new year, and I figure, why? You know, you don't want to start off on a high note. I don't want to use the best Puzzler in the bag, so to speak. Right in the beginning of the new year.
Yeah.
Well, I want to kind of work my way up. So the good ones, we'll get the good ones around
actually,
June.
So far this year, you've done quite well.
I only had one.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, anyway, this puzzle was sent in by a fellow named Peter Brigham. And, of course, I had to embellish, obfuscate, unclarify. And add the necessary folkloric and historic elements to it to turn it into a real Puzzler. So here it is.
Yeah.
This young fellow goes into a convenience store to buy a couple of things. And he buys a package of razor blades, a thing of shaving cream, a bottle of cheap aftershave lotion, and a candy bar, all of which he puts on the counter. And the clerk rings up his total. It comes out to $13.59. And the fellow opens his wallet. He's got a buck. He says, "Oh, man." He says, "Oh, wait a minute." He said, "I have an emergency 50 tucked in my wallet," and he takes it out. It's been
this
in
is not the Artie take chokes two for a dollar. At, no,
the checks in the mail. So he takes out the 50 and he apologizes to the fellow. He says, "Look, this is all I have, but I got to give you this $50 bill," and he hands the fellow the $50 bill, and the cashier gives him his change, and as he does so, he says. The cashier says, "Huh, that's interesting." And the customer says, "Geez, it is. What's interesting?" Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on a postcard or on the back of a $20 bill and send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge, Mass.
Wait a minute. I was busy working on Cambridge. You mean Our Fair City, Cambridge?
I'll try again. Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our Fair City.
Matt, 02238. Or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. And right now, if you have a question about your car that just can't wait, call us. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Ron from Wynwood, PA.
Hi, Ron.
Wynwood, PA.
Right outside of Philadelphia.
I thought it was Woodwind. Wynwood.
Yeah, I know where Wynwood, PA is.
So what's up, Ron?
Well, you have to solve a great debate in my household. I have a 5-speed Lexus ES300.
Yeah.
And I put a lot of miles, do a lot of city driving, and at about 40,000 miles, I heard this awful grating noise, and my clutch died. And I took it in, and it was a bad clutch, and they repaired it, and everything's fine now. But my wife, who's been driving 5 speeds as long as I have, claims that my clutch should not have died at 40,000 miles, if I knew how to drive a stick properly.
She's probably right.
Now, wait a minute. And she illustrates that point because in December, I took her car for 5 days, and 3 days later, her clutch but she has 55,000 miles.
I think it's what kind of a car did you ruin for her?
She has a 5-speed Mazda MX-6.
And there, how many miles on it?
That had 55,000.
So it had 50. How many? 50,000 when you got a hold of it?
Well, not quite. That about close to 55,000.
So you had it for like a weekend and you ruined it.
Right. Well, wait a minute.
Well, no, usually an MX-6 would get like 80,000 miles on the average clutch.
Right.
80 to 90.
Right.
What does she drive your car?
Yes, occasionally she does.
Oh, so it could be her.
No, it could be both of them.
Could be.
I mean, I think I know how to drive a stick. I've been doing it for years, too, and I really think just normal wear and tear will blow a clutch, and that's why I'm...
All right, give us a day in the life of Ron behind the wheel.
Well, I pretty much, I'm a doctor, and I go from hospital to hospital, and most of it's city driving and a lot of traffic.
I mean, you frequently, when you drive, preoccupy with, like, your last golf match or something?
My last patient.
Last patient, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, so you do a lot of stop-and-go driving.
Absolutely.
Okay, and so tell us what you do. You get in the car in the morning, and what do you do?
I open up the garage door, and I back it out of the garage door. And then I ride the clutch a little bit so I don't smack into the cars behind me, and I go.
Everybody does that, by the way. You can't back up, really, without riding the clutch.
No, it's almost impossible to back up with your foot all the way off the clutch. Wait,
what kind of driving does your wife do?
She pretty much goes in the neighborhood. She works very close to the house, takes it about half a mile a day, and then about twice a week she goes and drives about 20 or 30 miles, most of the highway.
Okay. Now, when you're stopped in traffic, where's your left foot when you're sitting at a traffic light?
Usually, in all fairness, resting right on the clutch, but not pushing the clutch down.
Good. That's a good place to rest it.
Oh, Ron, you're in trouble. It was a trick question. Yeah,
the noise you eventually heard that required the replacement of your clutch was more like a zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz you wore out the clutch release bearing or the throwout bearing.
Right.
And you did it from this nasty habit you have of resting your foot on the pedal when, in fact, you shouldn't be.
Because even though you're right, you are not engaging the clutch.
Or disengaging it.
Or disengaging the clutch when you have your foot resting on the pedal, but you are putting pressure on the throwout bearing. So.
And so I deserve the ridicule to which I've been subjected. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes.
Well, I'm not so sure, because the truth is that given the kind of driving that you do, if you really do constantly city driving, always using that clutch,
yeah,
then 40,000 miles, although it's an awfully low number for replacing a clutch, it's not outrageous. I wouldn't have been surprised if it had been 60,000, 70,000.
Right.
But the clutch on a Lexus ought to go for 150,000.
No, hardly. I mean, I would say the clutch on a Lexus will last about as long as any other clutch.
Yeah, but not the kind of driving that you do. On the other hand, your wife's clutch shouldn't have gone at 55K either.
But what was the manner in which her clutch went? Did the same thing happen, or did hers just wear out and start to slip?
Actually, our son was driving it. And,
another butcher.
He just learned how to drive a car, and one night we got a phone call that said the car wouldn't ride. And it just couldn't go.
Entirely possible that you're both off the hook.
No,
Does this son drive your...
think this kid is going to be allowed to drive the Lexus? You're dreaming.
Does he? Does he drive your car, too?
No.
He
absolutely
doesn't. All right,
not.
Then you wrecked yours, and he wrecked hers.
That's what I say, too.
Yeah, maybe he's driving yours when you don't know it.
Wait, does your son drive your wife's car frequently?
He was at that point. He had just gotten his license, learned how to drive a stick, and was taking it out fairly frequently at that time.
I remember when I was in high school, my good friend Carmen got his driver's license, and immediately, the first thing he did was have a copy of his father's key made. It was 56 Pontiac. And his father was a shoemaker, and he used to park around the corner from his shop, but the car used to sit there all day. So Carmen would
only Bakia would think of this.
He would come home from school, and I would be frequently with him, and he'd say, "Hey, you want to go for a ride?" And he'd get in Dad's car, and we'd drive all over the place. Chicago, Indianapolis.
and then he would put it back in the same spot.
If he was lucky. And the only thing that saved him is that his old man was getting a little bit senile and couldn't remember where he had parked it. And he'd come out of the shop and say,
"Gee, I swore I parked on this."
In his own way, he'd say, "I thought I was a park of the car over here. Maybe I was a yesterday. I don't know."
And then did he wonder why he didn't have any gas?
That occurred to him a few times, too, and why the hood was hot.
That was brilliant, to make a duplicate key.
It was the first thing he did. He got out of the registry of motor vehicles, went right to the locksmith. So anyway, Ron, this may be happening to you.
Yeah, your son probably wrecked your wife's clutch, and you wrecked yours. So your wife... But let's just point out here, your wife is completely innocent.
Yeah, and she's right.
Of the three people, she's the only one who's innocent.
Well, she may be. She may be a little bit guilty of something. We don't know.
I say she's innocent.
We don't know. But we can certainly say that you're guilty of resting your foot on the clutch. Refrain from that bad habit.
Oh, I absolutely will.
Okay, we'll be calling you next week to check. See you later.
All right, thanks.
Thanks for calling, Ron.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Rebecca calling from Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, Rebecca.
Rebecca. How are you?
Okay, my car's not.
That Rebecca with traditional spelling with C's and not K's?
Two C's.
Two C's.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen
She's
it spelled
from Tennessee, and they don't mess around with names in Tennessee.
Well, I'm not from here, actually. But
Well, where are you from?
I'm from New York. Then I moved to Massachusetts, and then I just moved here about a year ago.
No,
there are no Q's in your name, then, are there?
And I'm thinking of moving to Arizona, which is part of the questions that I have about my car.
Yeah, really? Okay. Go ahead. We're interested.
Well, see, okay. I was driving to the Little Rock Airport for my vacation, going to Arizona.
Yeah.
And my car broke down on the way to the airport. And so I rented a car and drove to the airport and, you know, had a great vacation and decided that I really would like to move to Arizona. meanwhile, back in Forest City, Arkansas, my car gets fixed. And a radiator tube burst, and they told me that the reason it burst was because my heater core was bad.
What kind of car is this?
Chevy Cavalier.
What year?
86. It's a station wagon. It's two colors. The trunk doesn't shut. You know, all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, the heater core just sprung a leak. There are two hoses that go to the heater core.
Yeah. It turns out when they fixed it, they wired it so that the hoses don't go through the heater core right now.
Right. You have no. They shunted the hoses together.
Mm-hmm.
So you have no heat.
No. Yeah, I have no heat, no defrost.
But the heater core is trivial to replace in that car.
Really? Okay. Because that's not what they told me. So that's why I called you.
No, I think it's easy. 86 Cavalier?
Mm-hmm.
What, they want $500 for it?
They wanted $250.
Yeah.
Do I actually need the heater core?
No.
I'm thinking of moving to Arizona, and I'm thinking, I don't really need heat if I go to Arizona.
No, you don't, and you don't need the heater core to do much of anything except provide heat.
Where in Arizona are you going?
Tucson. I'm thinking about it. That's the other question I have, is whether or not I should go there. You know, who knows?
Well, Tucson's, I've been to Tucson. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, you liked it, right?
I saw the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen in my life while I was there.
Really?
And is that why you decided to move there?
I think I'm pretty much decided. What I need to decide is if my car will make it there.
You didn't meet a fella by any chance, did you?
Well, I went to visit a fella.
Ah, yes.
Okay, now the truth comes out.
Yeah.
You gave us this bull sunset.
Yeah, sunset.
Come on, Rebecca. Come on. What do you think? You think we were born yesterday? You don't pick up all your stuff and drive halfway across the country
for a sunset.
For a sunset.
Well, yeah,
who is this guy? Now we'll get down to the real facts here.
Okay,
whether or not
lived,
this guy is worth
when
moving
I lived in Massachusetts, I lived. I used to live in Salem, Massachusetts.
Okay.
But he lived in Connecticut, and I would visit him, and he would visit me. And we never actually lived in the same vicinity.
Oh, a long-distance relationship.
Long-standing. A long-distance friendship that could turn into a relationship if I move there kind of thing.
And okay, so you move from Massachusetts to Memphis, and he moves from Connecticut to where?
To Tucson.
So he's lured you out there.
Yeah.
And you went out there, and you realized that you have to be with him, and the weather.
It's not him so much. That's the thing that I feel bad about. It's not him so much as the place.
He might be listening.
Hmm? Oh, yeah, I know. Because you know, I need to tell him somehow because.
And you just.
Oh,
did.
You need to tell him that it. You're going to stay there. Oh. You like Tucson better than you might like him.
Well, he thought that I was moving to Tucson because of him, but I really liked Tucson, which is why I would move to Tucson, not necessarily because I really liked him. So that's like a big mess. But you know, if I move there, he's good with cars. So I could get him to work on my car.
Yeah, fat chance now.
Oh, sure. Get him to put your heater core in and then dump him. There you go. Was he thrilled that you were moving to Tucson, or did he?
He offered to pay for my move.
Uh-oh.
Ouch.
Oh. He's obviously been unable to find another girlfriend out there. Pickens must be slim. Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, Rebecca, this is a tangled web.
Mess.
It sure is. And it all started innocently.
With a heater core.
With a blown heater hose.
Basically, yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Well. Yeah.
Well, you better make it very clear right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And you certainly can't expect them to pay your way, which
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no.
See, that's why I'm trying to figure out if my car will make it.
Oh, your car will make it absolutely without the heater core. Although,
well, it's to the point where things are starting to die.
Well, I would investigate getting the heater core fixed by someone else because I don't think it's a $250 job.
Yeah, well, I've asked around, and one of my coworkers came in and said, oh, yeah, I changed mine. I could change it. You know, talk to me instead. And
it varies from car to car. It varies from a two-hour, hour-and-a-half job to a day-and-a-half job.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on which car you got.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be encouraged by someone else's success.
Yeah, yeah. But I might be able to get him to help me with it. That's what I'm thinking.
This guy in Phoenix.
No, my coworker.
Oh, the coworker.
Him. Does he want to move to Tucson?
Hey, maybe. I haven't asked him yet.
maybe that will turn into something.
Interesting.
And then you'll want to stay in Memphis.
This is true. This is true, but I don't think that would happen. Yeah.
No.
Well,
yeah.
One never knows.
Not your type, huh?
No.
Yeah, well, you can give up on him helping you, too. Since he just heard that.
Right.
Well, okay. Well, I wish you good luck, Rebecca, with either of these boyfriends or none of them.
Yeah, okay.
Tucson, Memphis, Connecticut, or Salem, Massachusetts. Good luck wherever you may be.
Enjoy many sunsets in Tucson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good luck, Rebecca. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Oh, boy, oh, boy. Well, look, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher. Fenolosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mayor, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Bastille Smoked Seal, Braised Veal, and Candied Eel Happy Meal, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marginal Vera. Our customer care representative is Haywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our director of top secret strategy is Donatello Nobody. Our meteorologist from the New Delhi office is Luke Aurovindo. Our Greek driving instructor is Augustis Miros. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by our staff librarian, all been heard before. Our marine weather forecaster is Caesar Choppy. Our staff dietitian is Diana Unger. Our tolerance quality control guy is
Diana Unger. I got it.
Nat Sass. Our big band leader is Juan Anatou. Our Russian chauffeur is Bikoff and Dropoff. And our seat cushion tester is Mike Easter. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the snowshoeing mimes in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
Don't drive like my brother.
Ditto. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1503, download other fine episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
This week at cartalk.com, a great alternative to trading in your old car. You can donate it for the benefit of your very own favorite NPR station and get a tax deduction, too.
And it's easy, right?
Oh, yeah. They even pick it up.
One phone call. It's like arranging to have somebody steal it. But it's legal. I love it.
That's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Details at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though the NPR mail lady inks up her stamp that says no such morons at this address whenever she hears us say it, this is NPR.